Before God created civil government, He created family. Before He created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We've been exploring the question, does it really take a family to raise a child? This is from the 1996 Hillary Clinton book by that name. And what we have seen is that God created families. He didn't create the government. He didn't create a village. He didn't create even the church first. He created a family. And that is the institution that He designed to raise children. And we've been also discussing some government policies that discriminate against families and lead to poverty. Today we're going to change our focus just a little bit. We're still going to look at government policies that discriminate against families, but we're going to specifically focus on children at the border, defunding the police, and criminal justice reform. And we're certainly not going to be able to cover all of these exhaustively, but we are going to actually apply biblical principles. We're not going to favor one political party over another or one ideology over another, but we are going to favor the ideology that comes from the Bible and what God says. And this is really what we need to do. We need to look at the Bible. We need to see what God says, and we need to apply what God says to our lives, to our families, to our church, to our cities, our counties, our states, and our nation, and not only to our nation, but to all the nations of the earth. You probably have seen on TV, although it hasn't been as big of a news story of late, but you probably have seen and heard about all the children, including unaccompanied children, coming across the border into the United States of America. And you've even seen, I've seen pictures of children, young children, so young that they cannot possibly take care of themselves, simply being let down over a portion of the border wall and just left there and abandoned in the United States. What we have seen actually, and what happens is you actually have the girls that are making the trip, the young girls, some teenagers, their parents actually put them on birth control because they know that on the way they're going to be raped multiple times. Now think about this. We've already studied and we've talked about that families are the best way to raise a child. Yet because of government policy that says, well, puts preferential treatment on a child and puts preferential treatment on families that have children, what you see is you see this government policy that is leading to the destruction of families. And there are even reports that in Central America that parents have to guard their children because sometimes their children are actually kidnapped so that someone would bring their children, maybe someone that doesn't have a child, would take someone else's child and come over the border and hope that they can actually get into the United States of America because they have a child. We also have seen that the drug warlords are being paid to smuggle people into the United States of America. But we see the destruction, really, of families because of a government policy. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about immigration. And again, it's not going to be everything that the Bible says, but we're going to cover really the key concepts here today. First of all, our rulers and our laws should protect our border. You see, in the nation of Israel, and you may think, well, that was the nation of Israel. What does that mean for today? Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His standards are the same. He judged Israel based on the same standard that he judged the Canaanites based on. He just gave Israel more of his knowledge and more information and laid out more succinctly how they should apply his law and his righteous standards. And we have access to that through the Bible. We can read the Bible and, again, not only apply it to our lives and to our families and to our church, but also apply it to government. We see in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22, you shall have the same law for the stranger and for the one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. So it is important to know before we allow someone into this country that they are going to obey our laws. And by the way, if they're coming in illegally, by definition, they are not obeying our laws. By the way, those people that come in illegally also are at risk, and we'll talk about that in just a minute here. But we also see that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 12 through 13, gather the people together, men and women, little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words that are in this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So here we see that the Israelites were actually supposed to gather together once a year to hear the law of God. And not only the Israelites, but any stranger was also to hear the law of God so that they could learn to fear God, so that they would obey God's commandments as well. So it's very important that we make sure that those who are coming across our border are law-abiding citizens. And by the way, they aren't all. In fact, the ones that are coming illegally have all at least broken our immigration laws. And those who, we also have criminals, we have gangsters coming across the border as well. It is important to make sure that we are allowing people into this country who are going to actually follow our laws and who really we should actually, for applying God's standard and biblical standard, we should actually want them to apply biblical and follow biblical commandments and precepts as well. Now, one thing that we mentioned earlier, and by the way, we in this nation have over a million people legally immigrating into this nation each and every year. By the way, we're told there are people out there that tell us that America is systemically racist. And systemically racism, what's being systemically racist means is that the system is based and is built to basically give the short end of the stick to someone who is of color. Yet we see a million and a half people coming over the border illegally to get into this country. Now, I heard someone just recently saying, why are so many people wanting to come to America? So many people of color, are they wanting to come here so that they can be oppressed, so that they can be mistreated? Obviously, they're coming here because of the opportunity that is here. That opportunity is here because our founding fathers and the Pilgrims and the Puritans followed God and served God and applied biblical principles and established a government where we could actually be free and where we could actually be rewarded for our labors, and people could actually go forth and could actually earn money and reap benefits from their money. And it is for that hope that people are coming here. And however, it is important that those who are here, that are strangers, that are here, it's important that our laws protect them. And we see this principle that rulers must not allow the mistreatment of strangers from Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." So one thing I mentioned earlier, that those who come into this country illegally are often mistreated. And the reason is because they're here illegally. Because they're here illegally, they are afraid to go to the police to report a crime. They also cannot legally have a bank account. So very often they have money. The men are walking around with cash in their pockets. The women are walking around with cash in their pockets or their purses. They have cash stored up in their apartment or the home that they are renting, or maybe even if they own a home, they have cash stored up there. The criminals know that they have cash and also know that if they steal from them, that the person will not likely call the police, and that they'll be able to get away with that crime. So the very nature of illegal immigration actually leads to mistreatment of strangers. And this is something that we should not allow in this country. Now, next, we're going to turn to defunding the police and to criminal justice reform. Because one of the things that we were told last year is that the reason there's so much crime is because there's so many police officers. And that if we have fewer police officers, that we'll actually have less crime. And one of the things that really is important here to think about and to realize is that many people today believe that man is basically good, that human beings are basically good, and most human beings will treat you with respect. And certainly in the United States, it has been our pattern where the majority of people do treat people with respect. But this is not because man is basically good. It is because we have been built, our society has been based on the law of God, the Word of God. In certain parts of this country, the Word of God has permeated and is currently permeated more than in other parts of this country. There are parts of this country where when you mention God, people stop and they think and they know. In fact, I've even talked about this, the time where when I was actually in jail many times for peacefully protecting preborn children. And I didn't have a lot of money. I wasn't rich. My parents weren't rich. But my mom did go to an outlet store one time and bought me some Reebok Air shoes. And these were shoes that she probably paid like $65 for at the discount outlet, but they were shoes that were over $100 normally. I was in the holding cell in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was asleep, lying on the dirty floor, asleep, on the hard concrete floor, asleep, and an inmate woke me up and asked me what my name was, and I told him what my name was, and he said, "The officer called for you." So I walked down the hallway and I didn't see an officer. And he said, "Well, he's down this way." So I walked down the hallway with him and he said, "Well, he's in this cell." So I walked in the cell with him. All of a sudden, I was surrounded by 15 or 20 guys that thought I was a rich white guy. They weren't wanted to steal my shoes, and they thought I had money because at this, in the Atlanta Pretrial Detention Center, they actually don't take your money away from you. So you actually can have money in your pockets, and there are people that have money. And of course, those that have money, a lot of times they're trying to buy cigarettes or trying to, and their cigarettes are being smuggled in. And there's an underground economy that's going on. And of course, there's also theft as well, because you know what? A lot of the guys that were in jail weren't in jail because they were singing in the choir. A lot of them were in jail not because they were peacefully protecting preborn children, but a lot of them were in jail because they did something wrong. And many of them are thieves. And so I was surrounded by these guys. And one guy started sticking his hand in my pocket. And I actually moved his hand. And he said, "Don't touch me." I said, "Well, don't stick your hand in my pocket, and I won't touch you." Meanwhile, I'm quickly and fervently praying, quietly sending my prayers up to God that God would protect me, that God would see me. And what I told the guy is, I said, "Do you want to go to hell?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You're stealing. You're trying to steal from me. God's word says you shall not steal." Once I said that, it was no longer 20 on one or 30 on one or however many guys there were against me. It was one on one. The other guys didn't want any part of that. They didn't want to go to hell. They knew they had a fear of God, a certain level of fear of God. Maybe it was because of their parents. Maybe it was because of their grandmother that was praying for them. But someone had taught them something about God. They had been to church at some point, and they had a fear of God. Now, I spent some time in jail in Milwaukee as well, peacefully, again, for peacefully protecting preborn children from abortion. And in Milwaukee, there was not as much of a fear of God as there was in Atlanta. So there are greater levels of permeation of the gospel and the truth of the Bible that sets people free from sin in this country. But we also are safe and secure, not only because of the Word of God, but also because we have a restraining force that actually protects innocent people from thugs, from criminals. You know, in that jail cell, even though at the time I was with those guys and they were trying to steal from me, there wasn't an officer. An officer did come in, a deputy or did come in, and I was able to call out to him, and he was able to actually take me to where I was supposed to be and actually put the guy that was the ringleader that was trying to steal from me, put him in solitary confinement so that he wouldn't be able to do that to anyone else. There are police officers that are actually out there. They are, by the way, appointed by God for the purpose. The civil magistrate, those who are in authority, are appointed by God for the purpose of rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked. And we can see this in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." So even in a corrupt society, even when you have a corrupt ruler, even when you have corrupt police officers, and there are corrupt police officers, and there are officers that will do things that they should not do, and that go beyond the level that they should go. But even in those situations, that person that's in authority is still put there by God, and he's put there, he's appointed by God. And we should have a certain level of respect. Again, that's not to say that we should when someone is actually doing something wrong, that we should look the other way, that we should not say something, that we should not seek justice, and we should do that. But we see that the civil magistrates, those who are in authority, are put there, they're appointed by God. In verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So when we resist the civil magistrates, whether it's the police officer or the judge, then we are moving against God. And there, by the way, I was, of course, in jail to an extent resisting a police officer. Although, you know, I didn't really resist, but I still was there because I didn't follow what was the law of the land. And you might say, well, why were you doing that? Why is it okay for you to do something other? Were you actually violating God's commandments because he's God's authority? Well, we're going to see here that God's authority is meant for a certain purpose. Whoever resists, but most of the people that resist the authority of the civil magistrates are resisting God. In verse 3, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. So you see that rulers are not supposed to be a terror to good works. Rulers are not supposed to be, police are not supposed to be putting pro-life citizens that are working to protect innocent human life in jail. Rulers are not supposed to be arresting Christians for praying on the sidewalk. In Atlanta, twice I was arrested for praying on the sidewalk. I won those cases. Attorney Jay Sekulow represented me and the others that were arrested. One of those times I was thrown into solitary confinement along with some of my other friends. I think there were 12 men. There were, I believe, about 6 women. And of course the women were separate from the men, but the men, most of us were thrown into solitary confinement because we had Bible studies and we refused to stop having Bible studies. We were ordered to not have Bible studies. We were thrown into solitary confinement with just a thin jail outfit with no blankets, and it was cold outside in Atlanta. They turned the air conditioner on so that we would suffer. Rulers are not supposed to do that. Rulers are supposed to be there to punish the wicked and reward the righteous. And we see here, do what is good? Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. So, you know, we have seen the police have killed black people, some of them innocent. Some of them, by the way, not all of them have been innocent. You may have heard in the hands up, don't shoot from Ferguson. Well, his hands weren't up. He was going for the officer's gun. And let me tell you something. If you're going for a police officer's gun, you are going to get shot. You are going to get killed, and you should be. You don't think you can do that. One recent person that was shot and killed was actually driving his vehicle toward police officers. Let me tell you, if you drive your vehicle in a threatening manner toward police officers, they are going to shoot and kill you. And you should rightfully be shot and killed. You have to realize there are consequences to our actions. If we want to be unafraid of the authority, we need to do what is good. And again, when I was arrested, the police officer should not have been arresting me. They should have been arresting the abortionist that is killing preborn children. They should have been punishing him, not punishing me. But we need to realize that even those who have been mistreated, even those who have been shot, where they shouldn't have been shot or have been killed by, as George Floyd was killed with a knee on the back. Even in those cases, if that person was doing what is good, they wouldn't have been in that situation. And if they weren't resisting the officer, they wouldn't have been in that situation. So we need to look at this and look at God's word and apply this to our society. We see in verse 4, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only for wrath, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So we see that God has given the civil magistrate a sword, and the civil magistrate even has the power to put people to death. Now, obviously, in our country, the police officers, unless their life is threatened or someone else's life is threatened, unless force is necessary to protect their life or to protect the life of someone else, they are not to be judge, jury, and executioner. But they still are appointed by God, and the civil magistrate, the entire system is appointed by God. And even to the point of the sword, this is something that God has given governments authority to do. Now, we're going to pick this up again next week. But when we do, we're going to ask, has defunding the police actually solved the crime problem? Do we have less crime today than we did a year ago? Or do we have more crime than we did a year ago? What result has defunding the police had on our society and on our cities and on families? One of the things that we will see is that it's had a devastating effect, including children being gunned down in front of their home. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and power, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Sacrifice is never